Mixtape Podcast.
Yeah, what it do? Mobbing with the crew, nothing new. I thought you knew, thought I was falling off. Blessings keep on falling through. Oh, don't panic, dog. Grow a boo, I can't lose. No, I can't lose.
Yo, what's good, Knicks fans? I am Ja, so focused.
I'm French, the bro host, and we would like to welcome you to
the Knicks Take Podcast.
This is episode 71.
And this is a weekly podcast where we bring you the biggest Knicks news of the week.
Make sure you follow us on our socials. You can find us on Facebook, Instagram, TikTok, and Twitter/X by searching for the Knicks Take.
Also, make sure you check out our website, knickstake.com.
And if you love what you hear, please subscribe on the platform that you're watching or listening to us on. Hit the thumbs up button and notification bell if you're watching and listening to us on YouTube. And most importantly, share this with any fellow Knicks fans who might enjoy the show.
Woo! All right. So this week on the Knicks Take Podcast, episode 71, we are going to cover the previous week's games where the New York Knicks played the Portland Trail Blazers and the Dallas Mavericks. We're also going to do our continued update of the Knicks versus the Memphis Grizzlies, which will be occurring tonight as we are recording this episode. The topic of the week we're going to go into right after that, where we are going to be talking about whether the Knicks should make any additional moves. We'll say why we're talking about that a little bit later. Mm-hmm. Then we're going to finish off with a preview of the upcoming games. The Knicks are going to play four games next week. And we're going to tell you what our predictions are for those. And yeah.
Should be very eventful.
Should be.
But
let's get back to
where we left off at from last week on the winning streak.
Yeah, let's do that.
So the Knicks came into this game against the Portland Trail Blazers on a 4-game winning streak.
Mm-hmm.
The Trail Blazers are not a real competitive team.
They're not good.
One of the best teams in the NBA. Their record is 10-25. Mm-hmm. Coming into this night. And OG Anunoby, we talked a lot about how he had a big presence in the first 4 games. And he only had one scoring night so far against the Minnesota Timberwolves, where he had like 17 points, I believe.
Yeah.
In the first quarter, OG Anunoby scored 16 points for the Knicks. And the Knicks were looking to put on another old-fashioned beatdown on the Portland Trail Blazers. They opened a 19-point lead in that first half. In the third quarter, it grew to like 39 points. It was looking like another Philly game. Another Washington Wizards game. So I'm watching this like just waiting to see what the final outcome is going to be, because this team has just been really impressive, really consistent. They beat up on the team that they're supposed to beat up on. Julius Randle had 20 points this game, 8 assists, 7 rebounds. And like, you would think if Julius is only scoring 20 points, how much did Jalen Brunson have? He only had 12 points this game.
Mm-hmm.
But the team as a whole just played really well. The bench really showed up. We got great production from the bench from Quentin Grimes. He scored 17 points. Deuce McBride had 16 points as well. He was hooping this game. And if you remember last season, Deuce McBride had his biggest scoring output against the Portland Trail Blazers as well in Portland, where he had like 17 points. And that's the first game that we actually see him go off from three. And this was a pretty boring game to watch, because the Knicks have just been outclassing their opponents, and you expect these wins. So when you're watching it and you see from the first quarter that they just get the ass kicking, you just know what to expect for the rest of the game. The Knicks blew out the Portland Trail Blazers 112-84. Mm-hmm. OG Anunoby finished with 23 points, his most points since coming to New York, and the Knicks won their 5th game straight in a row.
Yep. This is a game that you probably could have summed up even quicker than you did, just specifically because nobody needed, like, Julius Randle and Jalen Brunson didn't need to play in the fourth quarter. Like,
right.
you were like, oh, well, Jalen Brunson only scored 12. That's because he didn't need to play. like OG, and it was clear, like, to start this game that this was a game where they was like, all right, we can get OG, like, a little comfortable in the offense to start this game, because there's no, like, when against the other teams, when you have to be more competitive, they don't look for him. In this game, they weren't really looking for him, but it was also kind of like things opened up for him because Portland is such a bad team. So this is a game where the Knicks could mess around a little bit, and Portland couldn't really do anything about it. So overall, very good, very fun game.
Nobody from Portland really went crazy. Only Jeremy Grant had 20 points. Malcolm Brogdon's on this team, and he had been tied to the Knicks a lot this week.
Yep.
In like trade talks, they even spoke about it like during the game, the broadcast. I couldn't tell if it was Clyde or Mike Breen, but they were just saying how Malcolm Brogdon would be a perfect fit for this team. So
he didn't show it in this game. Only scored 2 points and
played only 12 minutes.
13 minutes, 20% from the field.
Yeah.
The
we took the life from them pretty early in the game.
Yeah, but you know, you kind of, when we play against these teams, you kind of, if we're going to trade for the guy, you hope that he would play a little bit better than that. I understand that, you know, this Knicks team is so much better than Portland, and he probably may not be playing to his full capability. But anyway, we'll talk about Malcolm Brogdon a little bit later.
For sure. We could go into Dallas.
Yeah. Next game, New York Knicks. in a game that me and French both came into saying that it was going to be a blowout victory. We came into the game finding out that Luka Doncic, absolutely the Dallas Mavericks' best player, although they do have another very good superstar in Kyrie Irving. Luka Doncic missed this game with a sore ankle, and that left this team to be run by Kyrie Irving. And you know, not all of the rest of the team. They were a little bit short. They were missing some key pieces. But who they weren't missing was Tim Hardaway Jr. and Josh Green, both of who went off against the Knicks in this game. Knicks came into this game very sloppy, came into this game. It seemed like after blowing out the Portland Trailblazers and then knowing that Luka Doncic wasn't going to play in this game, that they kind of...
took their foot off the gas pedal.
Yeah, you know how I just said, like, you know, they messed around against the Trailblazers. They fafoed the Dallas Mavericks. Now you probably don't know what fafo means, right?
No, I'm not
it means they effed around and found out. They effed around with the Dallas Mavericks and found out. Yeah, you probably can't pull that off against every single team, especially a team with a player as good as Kyrie Irving, who scored a season high 44 points. And for three quarters, this was all Dallas Mavericks. Knicks never let in this game. They got it in the third quarter. They got it to within six. The Dallas Mavericks brought it back to double digits, brought it back to 20 points to begin the fourth quarter. And the Knicks finally stopped messing around. They stopped effing around. And they said, all right, we don't want to find out. And slowly but surely, that lead started dwindling until the last 3 minutes of the game, where they brought it to within 1 point. And I wasn't able to watch this game live. I actually, at this point in the game, I was listening to it on the radio driving. And they got it to within one. And that was kind of like, oh, they could probably do this.
Yeah, DiVincenzo hit a clutch and there.
Yes, Jonte DiVincenzo hit a three to bring it within one. Dallas had to call a timeout. And then in the ensuing play, they brought the ball down. They shot the ball, missed, got their own rebound, missed again, got their own rebound, and then they got the ball to Josh Green. I think they got three offensive rebounds in this play.
Yeah, they gave it to Kyrie first, and then he drove and kicked it out to Josh Green, who was just wide open.
For three, and built the lead to a four-point lead.
Yeah.
And at that point, like, after getting so many offensive rebounds, now instead of potentially being, you know, within one after a miss or taking the lead with maybe a little bit over a minute to go. So even if they score again, you have an opportunity to win the game. Now, what happens is now you're down four with less than a minute to go, and you have to execute perfectly and hope that they miss or hope that they turn the ball over in order to win this game. And the way the Dallas Mavericks were playing, especially with Kyrie Irving, you just knew that wasn't going to happen. That was their opportunity to get the victory just by grabbing a defensive rebound. And they couldn't do it. It was kind of, it evoked kind of how this game went for the first three quarters, in that the Mavericks out-hustled the Knicks a lot of the time in this game. Dallas Mavericks held off, beat the New York Knicks 128-124 after a thrilling fourth quarter. And Kyrie balled out. Great effort by the Knicks to bring it to within one, but they should have played better from the jump. That fourth quarter kind of proved that the Knicks actually are, you know, if a Dallas Mavericks team missing Luka Doncic, if everything, all things are equal, energy, everything, Knicks probably win this game. Even with Tim Hardaway going off, even with Kyrie Irving being unstoppable, if the Knicks are on their P's and Q's, they should win this game. And the fact that they brought it to within one, being down 20 in a quarter, kind of proves that. But you can't just play one quarter and hope to win. You have to play all four.
Yeah, I think when we think back to this game, I know you didn't watch it, but there was like a play that stuck with me through this game. Mm-hmm. That if I think about this game in the future, I'm going to think about Precious Achiuwa knocking the ball loose, diving for the ball, and then just throwing it behind his back straight into Tim Hardaway Jr.'s hands, causing another turnover. I'm just like, what was the point of getting the steal if you're going to give it right back? And Quentin Grimes, his teammate, is standing right next to him like, can I get the ball? Nope. And I feel like plays like that is what leads us to get tough losses like this. If you remember the last time the Knicks played in Dallas, Jalen Brunson didn't play.
I don't want to remember this game.
He had Luka? Yeah, I wasn't going to go too Luka crazy. Luka went crazy on us, and we lost that game in overtime because
French is referring to the game last year that turned the entire season around because, yep. And it's the game that I posted something talking about how disgusted I was with the Knicks. Oh no, this was a different Dallas game. There was two bad Dallas Mavericks games last year, but this was the game where the Knicks had the lead. They were up nine. They were up by nine with like a minute left or 90 seconds left or you know, something within a minute. And Luka Doncic, who is one of the top 10, is a top 10 player in the league, definitely, somehow goes for 60 point triple double
with 20 rebounds
and finishes the game or finishes regulation, right? He sends it into overtime off of missed free throw that he grabbed and put back up into the basket, like the wildest sequence of events to lose a game that you were leading by damn near double digits, like with 30 seconds left in the game. Like, how to lose a game, essentially, is what happened at the end of that Knicks game. And then they ended up losing the game in overtime. Like, yeah.
Yeah, I only bring that game up to just say, like,
Why'd you make me relive that?
Because it could have been worse. We lost to the Mavericks without Luka. In four quarters, we were losing most of the game. You didn't really feel like this was a game that they were going to win until they made that comeback. So I'm just like, all right, we're just going to forget if this game ever happened. At least it ain't going to stick with us.
I mean, Dallas is...
next week.
Dallas is not a team that I would say, like, oh, yeah, the Knicks should not come back to win this game. Like, if it was the Sixers with, like, Embiid going off, all right, cool. If it was the Celtics, all right, cool. You know, if it's one of these other teams with superstar talent in their number one and number two option. Like, and Kyrie is a superstar, don't get me wrong, but he's not an MVP player, one. And two, he had nobody behind him on the level that could make it tough for him, make it tough for us besides him.
Well, Tim Hardaway had 32.
Tim Hardaway is not a superstar or a star.
He's having a superstar night.
Or an all-star.
He used to do that for us, too.
He might get Sixth Man of the Year consideration, right? But even with that, like, we know what Tim Hardaway Jr. is. He's not Kyrie. If it was just Tim Hardaway Jr., he wouldn't be giving us the fits that Kyrie did. He's giving us fits because we had to focus on Kyrie.
Yeah. Which is something that any player can do on any given night.
Right.
So you can't really be mad at it.
Right. So...
Especially you know, with someone as motivated as Tim Hardaway Jr., we traded his ass out of town twice.
Twice.
After drafting him.
Paid him, traded him, got him back, traded him again. But anyway, I wasn't surprised. That's the main point. I wasn't surprised by this team. I was actually elated when they got it to within one, and it got it to a game where it's like, okay, whatever happens now, if they lose, I can at least be happy that they fought back and didn't just say, oh, well, this one's, you know, in the crapper. And that's the type of team this Knicks team is. They always fight, even in games where they don't bring forth that requisite effort in the first quarter. Like 9 times out of 10, you can always guarantee they'll make that push to make it a game. And against some of the best teams in the league, they won't, you know, it probably will be for nothing. But against teams like the Dallas Mavericks, against teams like the Miami Heat, they have a chance of winning. And they did beat the Miami Heat that one, you know, in that one game after being down 20 points and coming back and taking the lead. They could have done the same thing here against Dallas, and that would have been great. But anyway, you want to move on to the next game?
Yeah, talk to me.
Well, the next game would be?
The Memphis Grizzlies are coming to New York. Ja Morant is going to be officially out for the season with a torn labrum that required surgery, so... Mm-hmm. He's out of the lineup, as well as Marcus Smart, who's not going to be playing, or Desmond Bane.
Yep.
Jalen Brunson is listed as questionable for tonight's game with a left calf contusion, but even if he doesn't play, I feel like we still have enough to take out this Memphis team, mm-hmm. who's one of the worst teams in the Western Conference just due to not having Ja Morant for the most part of this season because he got suspended for the gun incidents.
Yeah.
So, yeah,
it's
you know what to expect from this game, right?
It's easy to put it like this. And throughout the whole season, when Ja Morant was out, the Grizzlies won 7 games. And then once Ja Morant came back after December 21st, which we haven't even hit a month yet, the Grizzlies have won 7 games since. So that just goes to show you the importance of Ja Morant to this mm-hmm. team. And now that he's out for the season, they're a much worse team and take away some of their other best players. Desmond Bane just won them a game the other day with his talent. He's not going to be in this game. This should be another game that's kind of like Portland. The Knicks should come into this game kind of trying to restore the feeling after what they did in Dallas. Mm-hmm. And, yeah, they should win by double digits.
Yeah, this should be a blowout. It shouldn't even really be close. Mm-hmm. I'm not afraid of Memphis on any level, even with Ja Morant and Desmond Bane and Marcus Smart. Mm-hmm. So without their best 3 players, this should be a pretty easy win. So I'm predicting that's going to be a Memphis loss.
All right. Let's move on to the Knicks topic of the week where we are, you know, you might even get a Knicks take based on the season, based on this Knicks topic. Knicks need to find some additional playmaking. After the trade for OG Anunoby, they got rid of 2 of their offensive creators in RJ Barrett and Emmanuel Quickley. And those were the 2 main guys coming off of this on the second unit. RJ Barrett, a starter, usually was one of the first guys pulled so that they could play with the second unit. And Emmanuel Quickley ran that second unit as the point guard. Now both are gone. Now that all of that offensive creation from those 2 players is missing from the second unit. Mm-hmm. OG Anunoby plays with that second unit, but he's not an offensive creator. We just talked about that last week, how even though he is a perfect fit for this team, we did lose something in that trade. And we've had Miles McBride, play as the backup point guard for Jalen Brunson, but he's not getting the minutes that Emmanuel Quickley is getting because he's not necessarily suited for that role. He's played very well, but as we saw in this Dallas Mavericks game that just happened, he's not necessarily that guy that can run that unit. So there's been a lot of chatter about the Knicks needing to make an upgrade and making a trade for certain guys. The NBA trade deadline is February 8th, Thursday, so we got less than a month to go mm-hmm. before the trade deadline. That is the last time that any NBA team can make a trade in the season. And there's some names being thrown around out there. We got Malcolm Brogdon, the guy that we just saw who put up 2 points up against us in Portland. He was a Sixth Man of the Year last year, you know, much to... the chagrin of Knicks fans who felt Emmanuel Quickley should have won that. But he's very good. He's a good playmaker. He's a good role player. He's a good guy to come off the bench if you need a backup point guard. Now, that is a guy that, you know, is leading many lists when it comes to that kind of thing. And he's making $22,500,000. Next, we have DeJounte Murray, an all-star point guard. When he was playing for the San Antonio Spurs, he's now on the Atlanta Hawks, and that team probably needs to blow it up. but this is not a Hawks podcast, so we're not going to touch on that too much.
Imagine he ended up back in San Antonio.
Well, that would probably be good for San Antonio, actually. DeJounte Murray is a pretty good playmaker as well. His playmaking stats are very similar to Brunson's, actually, when I looked it up. Brunson, Trae Young, and DeJounte Murray are all kind of the same level of have similar kind of playmaking stats when it comes to assists and assist to turnover ratio and all of those kinds of things. He's a great mid-range shooter. He has a defensive reputation, although depending on who you talk to, somebody might say he might be a little overrated with the defense, but he's got the size and length pause to really make things difficult if you ask him to play in that role. And he's making less than Malcolm Brogdon this season, $18,214,000. Other names that have been mentioned, Jordan Clarkson, Marcus Smart, Tyus Jones. Not really going to talk about those guys too much because, A, I don't see a reason why those teams would trade those players. Or, B, financially, it's just going to be way too difficult to make a trade for some of these guys, especially a guy like Tyus Jones, unless you're thinking of giving up a Josh Hart or Mitchell Robinson for a Tyus Jones. Makeup is, for a trade like that is going to be very difficult. So what do you feel about the Knicks adding a player from one of these other teams?
I did say that I want DeJounte Murray, but it sounds like the Hawks want the same kind of haul that they gave out to get him in return for a trade for DeJounte Murray. And I don't know if we should be willing to pay that much of a price to get someone like him on a team because it's not a seamless fit. He reportedly has issues playing as an off guard basically to Trae Young, and he's not going to really be playing much of a different role next to Jalen Brunson. I would like the defensive attributes that he has, even if he's not able to just lock up with one player and stop them. He does like have many good defensive qualities. Like he gets a lot of deflections. He steals the ball. Every time that we've played against him, I can think of a few plays where he ended up on a break because he just blew up a whole play by getting a interception pass. Not that interception. We're not playing football, but you know what I'm saying.
Interception.
He's a good mid-range shooter too. Like, you've seen a lot of the games that we played him just this season where in the fourth quarter you put the ball in his hands and he just couldn't be stopped for stretches at a time where he would be going on a run by himself damn near. But I don't know. I don't know if it's a seamless fit, especially if we're going to have to give up multiple draft picks to get someone like that. Big like Brunson is. He's still kind of slight in the frame, so he could be taken advantage of in a playoff series.
Right.
But what were you going to say? What if?
So I just looked up the package that they got for DeJounte Murray.
Okay.
And they gave up somebody else who didn't matter. But I think that you could do this without the Hawks giving up an additional player. The Spurs received Danilo Gallinari, one protected first-round pick 2023, a first-round pick 2025, a pick swap 2026, a first-round pick in 2027. Obviously, the Hawks should not expect to get the exact same package. So, what if we were talking about two protected first-round picks, which the Knicks have plenty of those. They have two protected first-round picks. Mm-hmm. One unprotected first-round pick, maybe this year's. You say this year's unprotected first-round pick because it's going to be late first anyway. Mm-hmm. Two protecteds. And maybe a second round pick instead of the swap.
I don't see Atlanta accepting that. And I don't think we should even give up that much. Three first round picks, even if two are protected, are still valuable. And if we plan to make the big star trade that we're planning to make this offseason, at least this offseason or moving forward, like if someone like Joel Embiid asks out, you think it's going to take
We're not going to be giving up protected first round picks for Joel Embiid.
They're going to be included though.
Every single pick, if we were to try to get Joel Embiid, every single pick that we give up would be our own and would be unprotected. There's no wiggle room there for that.
You can't say that for a fact. And it's going to probably six first round picks.
If the Knicks wanted to boost the trade with protecteds, then yes. But we're talking about four unprotected first round picks, three swaps, and then if they want to build up on top of that, it's going to be those protected picks, right? So, the value of these unprotected picks of the protected picks that the Knicks have is so that you can use them in trades for guys who are not superstars like a DeJounte Murray, right? He's a former All-Star. He's a starting guard. You're going to have to give up a pick for him. And I do think that he would be worth a pick.
But those protected picks are probably more valuable than the Knicks unprotected. MVP on the team.
Here are the protected picks that the Knicks have. They have this year's Dallas protected 1-10.
Which is probably going to be
It's going to convey this year. Detroit's 1-18 protected. That's not going to convey. Washington's protected 1-12. That's not going to convey. They have Utah or Cleveland's second round pick this year. They have Milwaukee's 2025 1-4 protected next year. That's going to convey. They have, and that's it for the protected.
Yeah, the protected picks are more valuable than the Knicks unprotected. If you have Joel Embiid in this current roster, that's going to be at the bottom of the first round every year.
The valuable picks that the Knicks have are the 2030, 2029, 2028, 2027.
Yeah.
Those are the most valuable picks outside of maybe like when the Detroit pick eventually conveys. If you think that the Detroit pick is going to convey in 2026, because it's not like, okay, this year's pick, if it don't convey, then we lose it. It just means next year the protections change. So that pick right there is eventually going to convey. And you're right. It is going to be valuable. Is it going to be more valuable than the Knicks 2030 pick? I don't think teams feel that way, right? Yeah. Especially if you're trading for Joel Embiid, who in 2030, who knows how his career is going to be in 2030, in 7 years from now.
Yeah, but he's not going to be the end-all, be-all with the Knicks. He's just going to be the major addition to get them over that championship-level
tier. The Philadelphia 76ers were to trade Joel Embiid, the most valuable pick that they would want would be the one that's furthest from the Knicks.
Well, what if it's not Joel Embiid? What if it's Giannis? Do you think Giannis is not going to be good at 2030?
I don't know. I know that Giannis, you never know because there's injuries. There are things that happen to players. Like, you cannot predict what is happening, what is going to happen 5 years from now,
mm-hmm.
right? So that's why the further out picks are the ones that are most valuable to teams, because who knows what's going to happen to this franchise in that amount of time. You could kind of predict what's going to happen in the next few years. But even still, the fact that these protected picks are protected, that means that if they land in the lottery, you're not getting a lottery pick. And you have a better chance of getting a lottery pick in 2030 if the Knicks bottom out because all of the guys that they traded for are either gone or are injured than you do for a pick that is never going to be in the lottery. So I understand your point, but that's why I think that you use these protected picks to acquire a very good player, either DeJounte Murray or a Malcolm Brogdon, who I think are the two. I'm not saying give away all of your protected picks, by the way. I think that two protected picks is the max that you give up, and that's it. If they want more than two protected picks, then you just, whatever, you try to make it work with another player who is not going to cost you as much, or you try to make it work with Deuce McBride.
It's too risky to me. I would rather, because the Dallas pick is going to be valuable. If I'm going to trade that Dallas pick, I want it for a guy who I know is a for sure fit on this roster. Like, if he was going to trade that pick for Marcus Smart, it makes perfect sense. I don't know about Jordan Clarkson, Tyus Jones, Malcolm Brogdon.
Do you think Marcus Smart is better than DeJounte Murray?
I think he's a better fit for Thibodeau than DeJounte Murray.
Why?
Because former defensive player of the year, he's able to catch and shoot. He doesn't need the ball to be effective. Just like OG Anunoby, he's just a miniature guard. And he fits with every lineup. And you don't have to worry about him being a liability due to his size. I just feel like all the intangibles that he brings to the game make it a lot less risky than it is for someone like DeJounte Murray, who's never been on a winning team.
DeJounte Murray is a former All-Star, All-Defense second team in 2018.
All-Star for the Spurs.
And NBA steals leader in 2022.
Yep. Steals isn't a good defense, though. It just means you...
Steals is not necessarily good defense. I agree with you. My point is that we're not talking about, like, somebody who's not a proven commodity. Marcus Smart has not had a good year this year. Marcus Smart has not proven to be a team changer the way that DeJounte Murray. Well, I shouldn't say DeJounte Murray. He hasn't proven to be a team changer. Like, you add him onto our team, and he's automatically going to make it better, right? They brought him into Memphis to kind of hold down the fort while John Morant was out. That didn't really work out too well.
Because that's not his role.
That is not his role.
On Boston, he's been the fourth option every time.
Right. On Boston. We don't know what's going to happen with Marcus Smart. We need guys who are good shooters.
Which he is.
I don't know if I would say that Marcus Smart is a good shooter. I think that statistically, there's a lot of variation for his stats when it comes to shooting from behind the three-point line. Not that DeJounte Murray is a great three-point shooter either, but I don't know if I see the automatic benefit to Marcus Smart over DeJounte Murray, especially when it comes to the area that we are talking about, which is playmaking and offensive creation. I think if we're talking playmaking and offensive creation, I think DeJounte Murray is the benefit. I think that the poor fit with DeJounte Murray is that if you get him, you're going to have to put him in the starting lineup. Mm-hmm. And if you put him in the starting lineup, now you're changing the role of Jalen Brunson, because they both kind of do the same things. I see you have up with Marcus Smart's 3-point stats.
What? Yeah. 32% for his career on 6 attempts.
And that's not good.
32%
is below average, like, by a lot. Can Marcus Smart hit the 3? 100%. Has he had clutch moments from behind the arc? 100%. Is he a 3-point shooter? No, he's not a knockdown 3-point shooter.
DeJounte Murray's career 3-point percentage is 34.
Yep, which is
not about, much of a difference.
Which is about average, it's 2 percentage points better than Marcus Smart. The problem with DeJounte Murray is that he's not really looking for the 3-point shot. He's not a catch and shoot 3 guy. He's not really a pull up guy. He prefers the mid range, and that's not a great fit for the starting lineup. Kind of going back into what this team was with R.J. Barrett on the court in the starting lineup with a guy like DeJounte Murray. The only thing is DeJounte Murray will pull up from the mid-range, whereas R.J. Barrett liked to get to the rim.
But it's not like we're making this trade for a sniper. If we're making a trade for Marcus Smart, it's for his defensive capabilities and being able to be in every next lineup. So
yeah,
the fact that he's a shooter is a bonus, but we're not giving him the ball over Dante DiVincenzo if he's on the same court.
Do you think Memphis is trading Marcus Smart?
We don't know. It's possible.
Of course we don't know. I just asked you, do you think that they will? They just acquired him. He's supposed to be the backup point guard he's supposed to be the backup point guard / the starting shooting guard next to John Morant. And they haven't seen what that looks like yet. Do you think they're going to give up on it after a half a season where neither one has been healthy?
I can see that happening.
For what?
Because
you want it to happen?
The way that their team is trending is in a downward spiral.
No, it's not. It we is. Don't know what way it's trending. They didn't have John Morant due to suspension for the first 25 games. Mm-hmm. Once he came back, they started winning. And if he didn't get injured, they were going to try and make a push for the playoffs. So that's not a team that you say is spiraling downward. It's just that they've had bad luck. You just throw this year out. Next year, you could probably make that claim. They're not giving up on next year. They're not going to just trade away everybody because this year's... Like, they went the way that it did. They started off the year with Steven Adams going missing the season. They knew they were not going to have John Morant for 25 games. And now they've lost John Morant for the season. Yeah. Like, that's
Marcus Smart could ask out, too.
That unless he asks out, they are not trading Marcus Smart. Can we agree to that and move on, please?
Like, you say the same thing about it. The star trade, too. It's not... unreasonable to me. That's why I'm saying that.
But we're trying to talk about what is likely. And what is likely is that Marcus Smart is probably going to be on this team until they see that it's not going to work. You see how some of these other teams, Chicago, Atlanta, they just keep trying to make it work because of whatever. These teams don't want to give up too early. Right. Especially if there's a reason to believe that they're going to that. OK, this was a fluke. This year was a fluke. Well, next year we're going to be healthy and we're going to make it work. That's is exactly what Memphis is. And they've shown this year that they can be good enough to make the playoffs with John Morant healthy. So if John Morant healthy, of course, you're going to want to have Marcus Smart next to him. They're not going to give him up. They're just going to shut it down for the year. That's why Marcus Smart's not an option. Tyus Jones, not an option because... like I said before, the money is not matching up. Like, you're going to have to get rid of somebody who's a key part of your rotation or Mitchell Robinson. And I don't see the Knicks giving up either one of those for a Tyus Jones. And I don't see Jordan Clarkson getting traded either. So, really, it's between Malcolm Brogdon and Jontae Murray. And
I'd rather stand pat.
And you'd rather stand pat. All right, cool. I wouldn't be mad with anything they did as long as it involved either standing pat, getting DeJounte, or Malcolm Brogdon. I think with DeJounte Murray, if you do that trade, your team is going to get better. Like, it is. I think that there's a way to make it work between him and Jalen Brunson. He's 6'4", 6'5". He's got a long wingspan. You can put him on the other team's best perimeter player, put OG on the other team's best player, who's not the perimeter player. You have Isaiah Hartenstein, and that's going to be a defense that's going to be hard to stop. You can have DeJounte Murray run the second unit offensively, not burn Jalen Brunson out with all of that stuff. You're not losing anything at playmaking wise between the two of them if you have DeJounte Murray, running with that bench unit. And yeah, I think that would be a good fit. I like Malcolm Brogdon also. He's a good fit. He's a much better three-point shooter. He fits in he fits all of the holes that the Knicks have right now much better than DeJounte Murray does.
Pause.
Sorry. But yeah, all of the needs that the Knicks have, Malcolm Brogdon corrects them. My biggest gripe that I don't hear anybody talking about when it comes to Malcolm Brogdon, they talk about the fit. Yes, the fit there is good. They talk about the contract. Yes, the contract situation is good for Malcolm Brogdon. He makes more than DeJounte Murray this year, and I believe he's going to make more next year as well. The Boston Celtics tried to trade Malcolm Brogdon, and they were turned down because of something that was found in his medicals. You remember this?
Yeah.
And we don't know what that was. And nobody is really like, he's had a great season this year, mm-hmm. except for when he played us. He's had a great season. And he's older than DeJounte Murray. That gives me a lot of pause, right? That gives me a lot of pause, and nobody's talking about it. Nobody's talking about the negatives of a Malcolm Brogdon trade and the fact that he always is injured. There's a very good chance that this good contract that he has is going to be a not good contract. And it could burn you. I don't have that fear with DeJounte Murray. And I think that kind of balances the pros and cons between the two of them to where it's like, listen, I'm good with either one of them. I'm kind of leaning DeJounte Murray just because that whole trade situation scares me. But I'm good with either one because I do see the fit with Malcolm Brogdon. If that's who the Knicks go after, it's going to make us a much better team. But if they decide that they're going to go DeJounte Murray, I don't think we should be upset by that. And I think we should be encouraged that this Knicks team is going to be much better with the playmaking and with the all of the things that we just are lacking right now on the second unit.
Yeah, it just matters the price. The price is the only cause for concern for me. Malcolm Brogdon has a long injury history. And like you said, we never got the results from that last injury report that almost held up that trade. So I'm just not comfortable giving up multiple first-round picks. And if we are going to give away a pick for someone, it has to be someone who's going to absolutely be a perfect fit. And that's the only thing I'm saying.
Malcolm Brogdon is 31. DeJounte Murray is 27 years old. One is leaving his prime and one is entering his prime. These are things that need to be discussed outside of fit. Like, yeah, the fit on paper looks great, but if he shows up and all of a sudden he starts having injury issues and now he's 32 years old and he can't get on the court, that's a bad contract to have. You might as well just have Evan Fournier, who would be the key player in a trade for either one of these guys.
Yeah. So we'll see, because the trade probably won't happen anytime soon.
If it's going to happen, it's going to happen in the next month. And then if it doesn't happen the next month, we got to wait till after the playoffs.
Yep. But speaking of what we won't have to wait until after the playoffs, we got some good news this week.
Okay.
The NBA denies Knicks disabled player exception over the Mitchell Robinson injury that the Knicks filed earlier this year, which means he's going to be back before the end of the regular season.
Slow down. We don't know that means he's going to be back before the end of the regular season.
There's optimism that he's going to be back by April.
There's optimism that he'll be back before the end of the regular season. And the Knicks actually do sound like they're very positive that he will. Obviously, we're going to have to wait and see. And it's going to be based on his own rehab. But we don't know. Don't say that.
He's coming back, y'all. He's coming back. And when he does come back, I see him coming off the bench,
mm-hmm.
which means I cannot speak. Isaiah Hartenstein is going to be the starter, and he's been having a huge month for us ever since Mitchell Robinson has been out. So this is huge news to me. You don't seem too excited about the prospect of him coming back.
I'm excited about the prospect of him coming back.
Okay, okay. So what do you see the Knicks being once he does return? A problem, not good.
Obviously, when this news came out, I was very excited. Because a team that has 48 minutes of rim protection and defense in the five spot, now with more shooting, now that we have OG Anunoby, more defense with OG Anunoby, it's going to be a problem. You were just kidding, but we've seen it in the five out of the six games since we've made the trade that this team is just a different team, and they threaten you from multiple different angles in the way that they did not before. And now you have a guy like Mitchell Robinson, whether he starts, whether he comes off the bench. We saw what he did in the playoffs last year against Cleveland.
And what he did to start this year.
Right. So if you have guys who are rebounding the ball, offensive rebounds, defensive rebounds, they're challenging you at the rim, they're making you miss, and now you have guys who on an offensive end, all right, you got to deal with Jalen Brunson. You got to deal with Julius Randle. You got to deal with, you can't help off of OG Anunoby. You can't help off of Dante DiVincenzo. You have to be excited by the way that a fully healthy Knicks team looks going into the playoffs. So hopefully you are correct. We're going to see Mitchell Robinson before the season is over. We're going to see Mitchell Robinson when the playoffs start. And we'll see how far the Knicks go.
We'll see Mitchell Robinson in the finals.
Right. I just saw a clip where Kevin Garnett and Paul Pierce, two guys who I absolutely loathe because of their time with the Boston Celtics and them always beating the Knicks.
Except for when they had to get traded to Brooklyn, we sent them off.
Right.
We sent them out of
but
Boston.
But they both were kind of like, listen, we could see the Knicks making it to the Eastern Conference if they avoid the Boston Celtics in the first two rounds. And I think that's doing a little much. But, you know, I think that if the Knicks make, if the Knicks show that this is sustainable, what they've done in the first six games since they've gotten OG Anunoby, whether they make a trade or not, yeah, I can kind of see that kind of bearing fruit. I had a conversation with our Uncle Ian.
Really?
Yes.
Okay.
And he said, you guys are, what do you say? Basically, we're ahead of, getting ahead of ourselves. He was like, oh, you guys are not, and I'm like, what are we even saying? We didn't say that they're going to make the finals or even the Eastern Conference finals.
I said 50 so wins. I'm still standing on that, though.
I said if there's anybody who's being very, like, optimistic and maybe a little bit of a homer, yeah, it'll be my brother, but you saying us, like I'm saying something. Well, now you have two guys, Paul Pierce and Kevin Garnett, who are saying stuff like that. Kendrick Perkins has been on the Knicks bandwagon.
Whoa, just saying that the Knicks could be dangerous.
Listen, the Knicks are a good team. And they have enough talent, and they have enough defense, and they have enough offense that, you know, you can't count them out except for two, three of the best teams in the league. And I don't think there's anything wrong with saying that. I don't think there's anything wrong with promoting that. And when Mitchell Robinson comes back, you know, we'll see. We'll see if that's actually the case or not. So that's all I got to say on that. You're jumping the gun, is what he said. You're jumping the gun. You guys are jumping the gun. How are we jumping the gun? We ain't even say nothing.
I think we could still finish the season as a two seed. And that's before we make any trade deadline moves or pickups, because, you know, people always get waived after the trade deadline. So we could actually sign a player outright.
I'm not excited about anybody. Well,
never know.
I'm not excited. Anybody who gets waived, I'm not saying that they're going to run the second unit. Like, I think you need to make a trade for something like that. So if it's not a trade, then we're just going to run with Deuce, which I'm fine with. Yeah. He seems to have been playing well. And if we don't make a trade, then whatever. But anyway, let's get into the previews for the upcoming games outside of tonight's game, which we already covered.
The Knicks are going to face off again against the Orlando Magic. Mm-hmm. January 15th. That's a Monday, 3 p.m. game. Martin Luther King Day.
Martin Luther King Day. It's a holiday.
I don't know why I'm saying Monday. That's the holiday of the year for me so far, because I finally get another day off of work.
Finally, you just had one.
I know. I was spoiled. I had two straight weeks with four-day work weeks, and then had to go back to the five-day. That was terrible.
Mm-hmm.
But you know how that go. So this is going to be an important game for the New York Knicks. The last time they faced off against Orlando was an embarrassing loss that kicked off the trade.
This is important because there are four or five teams in the Eastern Conference that are all fighting for that 3, 4, 5, 6 spot.
Yeah, it's still early, though.
But
I'm not standing watching as much.
The other day, all of these teams, like, from 4 seed to, like, the 8th seed, all had the exact same record.
Yep.
So Orlando is one of those teams, and the Knicks are one of those teams. You got to beat all of those teams that are in that little grouping right there. You got to get wins on all of them, and you got to beat that get the season series over all of those teams.
Yeah, but they're going to win this game.
Yeah, we got to get our lick back.
We got size now. The Knicks are going to get their revenge. They're going to begin the next winning streak,
mm-hmm.
because I envision that they're going to win this game tonight against the Grizzlies. Second game they're going to win is against the Memphis Grizzlies. I mean, pause. Why?
Against
the
Orlando Magic.
What the hell is going on? Against the Orlando Magic.
Yep.
And the only thing that I can see being a hiccup is Cole Anthony coming into the game. You know, he's a New York native.
Coming home.
Yeah, he's coming home.
Mm-hmm.
Greg Anthony's son, he's probably still feeling a ways that the Knicks didn't draft him. They drafted Obi Toppin over him, so I feel like he always comes with some intensity against the Knicks, and that could be like a little spark plug from them off the bench that could give the Knicks some fits, but the Knicks are going to win this game. What do you think?
No, I'm not worried about Cole Anthony. I'm worried about Jalen Suggs. He gave Jalen Brunson fits last time. I'm not sure. I'm just worried about Jalen Brunson having a poor game like he did the last time against the Orlando Magic. And but outside of that, you put OG on Paolo Banchero. You let Julius Randle go off offensively.
Against the big man.
Yep.
Matar's there.
And you should come out with a victory now that, you know, all of the offense is through those two guys, Jalen Brunson and Julius Randle. So you hope Jalen Brunson can get off of Jalen Suggs and get his shot up. But Magic is a tough out for us. But yes, we need that lick back. So we're going to win that. We need to win that. This is a must win in January. Next up, Knicks versus the Houston Rockets. 2 days later on Wednesday, January 17th at 7:30 in the Garden. Houston is a notoriously bad road team. Actually, there was at one point this season, the Houston Rockets went like 0-15 or something like that. No, they haven't even played 15 games away, but they were 0-12 or 0-11 before they finally got some road wins. They have a 19-18 record, which goes to show how good they've been at home. But they're not home. They are on the road in the Garden. The Knicks are going to win strictly based off that. Houston has been a very good team this year ever since, you know, Ime Udoka has been their coach and they picked up some veterans, but they're still a bad road team. So Knicks got to do what they got to do.
And they're still pretty young. First year is Ime Udoka as the coach. They got Jabari Smith, who I like a lot, but, they still got a ways to go.
Yep.
So I see the Knicks taking this game. The next game, Knicks are going to face off against the Washington Wizards again. Thursday, January 18th at MSG. Second half of a back-to-back.
Yep.
And I don't think it should be an issue. Last time we saw Kuzma was the main threat for Washington. I don't know if we're going to allow him to go off like that again. Maybe Jordan Poole gets a little comfortable, but this is going to be another Knicks win, which would leave us at four straight, right?
That would leave us at four straight if they win. If they win tonight, yes. And they win all the games that you predict that they're going to win.
Yeah.
I'm a little wary about this game. Depends on how they play against the Rockets.
Mm-hmm.
The Wizards should be a win, but as we just saw against the Dallas Mavericks, if the Knicks come in messing around, you see a guy like Jordan Poole finally go off, who has had a terrible season, but we've seen him in previous years. He can go for a heater. Kyle Kuzma went off last time we played. The Knicks can't mess around the way that they did against Dallas Mavericks on the second half of a back-to-back. And if they have a tough time against Houston, and then they come into Washington and say, "Ooh, good, we get a little rest day," and that could be an embarrassing loss for us. But I'm going to also predict the win against the Washington Wizards.
Yeah.
Lastly, Knicks versus Toronto Raptors, the return.
Are we going to talk about that next week?
I mean, we may not. But the return of Emmanuel Quickley and RJ Barrett. I will be at this game, which is why we may be recording on Sunday. We haven't discussed it yet, y'all, okay. But that's why we're discussing it now.
Okay. That would be the game of the week, though.
Yes, it would be. And the return of Emmanuel Quickley and RJ Barrett.
Mm-hmm.
The Toronto Raptors they started off playing very well. They won their first three games, I believe.
Mm-hmm.
And now they have lost three of their last four. And both Quickley and RJ Barrett have looked good. They've looked so good that I feel like they have bogarted the team from Scottie Barnes. Because I've been looking at the stat line and I'm like, okay, RJ went off 37 points. Okay, Quickley over here doing assists. Why Scottie Barnes got less than 20 points though? So it's going to be very interesting to see how this game turns out. If we do record next week Saturday, we'll just go over it again just like we did today with the Memphis Grizzlies. But the Raptors are still not as good as the Knicks, so the Knicks are going to win this game by a comfortable margin. And then we'll all get to say goodbye to Emmanuel Quickley and RJ Barrett in the Garden. And we get to cry it up. And, before I move on to more about the both of them, what are your thoughts on this game?
I think they've played pretty well considering just being on a brand new team. They've both been basically the main options on offense for the Raptors starting five. They're on a 3-game losing streak currently because they've gone against the Lakers, Clippers, and Utah, which aren't like the best teams in the NBA, but they're competitive. We lost to Utah early in the season.
Yep.
We lost to the Clippers. We beat the Lakers, but they still have LeBron James and Anthony Davis on their team, and the Raptors don't really have great size, which is something that it seems like they're going to struggle against with most teams. So, like, that's why I can't see us losing to them, because we got better as a result of that trade. Mm-hmm. And before that trade, we were already the better team, and we beat them already twice.
Both teams got better, let's be honest.
The Raptors just are pretty much the same team today. Maybe if we're talking about the future, yeah, the future, they'll be a much better team. But currently, they went on a little streak, and then they're on a losing streak right now. So it's a little too early to call for the Raptors. It's clear that the Knicks have been a better team, though.
All I'm going to say is they should have one more win. They got robbed against the Lakers. That game against the Lakers, that fourth quarter, by all accounts, was unfair. So unfair that their coach probably got fined for crapping all over the referees and said, "Yo, well, the Lakers needed to win that day. Just tell us beforehand so we don't have to show up and just give them the win."
I was watching that game. RJ Barrett fouled the dude. It wasn't even a nitpick foul. Like, he was still moving, setting a screen, and there was a pivotal point in the game. Like,
it wasn't just that.
Raptors don't have any size.
Did every foul that they called on against the Raptors, were they all fouls?
No, most of them were, though.
Okay, if you say so.
Like, every team gets calls called against them. I'm not going to say that they were robbed.
And how many points did they lose by?
Doesn't matter. Okay. Does not matter.
Just putting it out there, that probably should have been a Raptors win, or at least gone into overtime, and that's it. It was a close game that the Raptors probably had a legitimate gripe in that they lost.
Yeah, what about the Utah game?
Speaking of the Raptors, Emmanuel Quickley and RJ Barrett, who were the traded guys for OG Anunoby, both of them have recently spoke on their time with the Knicks. RJ Barrett on Anscape in an interview with Mark Spears said, "When I came there, we weren't good. I left it a lot better than when it started. Definitely bittersweet, but I'm happy for those guys over there. They are happy about the trade they made, and I wish nothing but the best for them. I grew up as a player and a person over there in New York. Those 4.5 years, I will never forget." Manuel Quickley also wrote an article for the Players Tribune showing his appreciation for New York, made and left a couple of us with some wet eyeballs.
Yeah, I had some tears in my eye for sure. I'm like, damn, he went all out. He was mad emotional for that article, and he let us know exactly how he felt, which you don't really get from athletes. But yeah, you could tell he's heartbroken.
I was feeling some feels. I don't know if I would say I had tears in my eyes, but I was definitely like, aw. Thanks, Quick. You know, after all of these Knicks fans tried to be like, yo, they didn't care. They didn't even say goodbye to us.
So happening so quick. And beasting for acknowledgement. Like, relax.
Thirsty. Very thirsty. But anyway, what else happened this week?
He didn't say bye to me. No, he just got traded 2 hours ago. Shut up. Just so emotional. Like, damn. But next thing that happened this week that I found pretty funny. Yeah, as you know, Carmelo does like a podcast now with Jadakiss and
it's Carmelo Desus. Anthony, formerly of the New York Knicks.
And they were speaking about the trade with Toronto, and Carmelo called RJ Barrett game bland. He's like, you can't really tell the difference if he has 4 points or 26. He kind of just like went into him a little bit, and that got some coverage this week. I'm sure we're going to hear a little more about it, but I found that funny.
It was a little unnecessary also, but whatever. All right, Melo. I guess now that he's gone, I guess it's cool. You got the green light. You got the green light. You could talk shit about RJ Barrett, but I was a little confused as to why he needed to throw that shot.
You can just be honest now. That's all.
Anyway, all right, y'all. This is where we're going to close up shop. Thank you guys for watching and listening. Make sure you hit us. hit them comments. We're going to look at the comments from the last episode, and we're going to see if there's enough comments. I don't think that there has been.
Yeah, you got
if
one comment anybody, last episode. He said that she was a RJ Barrett's agent.
But we're going to just keep rolling this thing until we start seeing more engagement from you guys. If anybody wants some free Knicks Take merch, you see, I'm all Knicks Take merched out. You know, we'll hit you up. We'll send you a message. We'll work it out with you. But you gotta get those comments up. We see the views going up. We appreciate y'all. Make sure those of you guys who are watching, make sure you hit the subscribe. Make sure you hit the like. If you can't watch us on YouTube, we're on all streaming platforms. So make sure you hit us there as well.
Mm-hmm. If there's 2,000 people watching, it means there's 2,000 opinions for something that we said in this hour-long episode. Look, this is supposed to be a quick episode. My ass.
Nobody said it was supposed to be quick except you. I did.
But anyway. With that being said, we'd like to bid you adieu. Thank you for listening to
the Knicks Take Podcast. Peace out, y'all.
The Knicks Take Podcast. Yeah, what it do? Lessons keep on falling through. Oh, don't panic, dog. Bro, wait, boo. I can't lose. Nah, I can't lose.